was very, very sweet. Thank you, Pastor Joe and Pastor Vicki, for inviting me this morning, and happy anniversary. It's their 35th anniversary. Did you know that? They've got a few years on us. We're going to celebrate our 25th this summer, so I'm expecting a trip. Hint, hint. Although he's going to say, you're the one that was on TV, so maybe I'll take you on a trip, honey. The word survivor entails a whole lot more than obviously a TV show, and we're going to look at that this morning. And what I want you to walk away with this morning is this. You are a survivor. You are a survivor.
Yeah.
Do you believe me?
Yeah.
You are a survivor.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how I know that? I'm looking at you. You're breathing. You are sitting here in church this morning. You are a survivor. Some of you are looking at me now like, what are you talking about? But I can guarantee you, if we went around this room, we would hear a whole lot of stories of stuff that people have been through. We would hear a whole lot of testimonies about what God has brought each and every one of us through.
Yeah.
Every single person here, if we had time, I could bring the microphone down and you could tell me something God has done in your life.
Yes. Yes.
And if you're looking at me like, I don't have anything to say I'm thankful for, I would like to sit down and prove you wrong.
Amen.
Because everyone has something they can say that God has done for them.
Amen.
And you're here.
Yes.
So this is what I want you to say. I am a survivor.
I am a survivor.
Oh, come on. Act like you mean it. I am a survivor. That's like a good thing. So every single person should be smiling while they say that. Right? Here's my first scripture I want to open with, and it's one of my favorites, and it's in Proverbs 24:16. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified translation first. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in a time of disaster and collapse. A righteous man or woman falls 7 times and rises again. Now, here's the thing. Righteous means you're in right standing with God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
So if you are a believer, that means you are righteous.
Yes. Amen.
There's no disqualifying statements in this verse.
Right.
There's nothing in this verse that says you are righteous, and it doesn't have a little parenthesis mark, and says if you're a perfect mom, if you never argue with your husband, if you read your Bible every day this month, if you've been to church at least 6 times this month. No, none of that.
Right.
Righteous is right standing that you didn't earn,
right,
but Jesus earned for you. So when it says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, it's talking about you.
Yes.
That is you in this verse.
Yes.
You know, you got to put yourself into the Bible because the Bible is you. It's Jesus telling you what you have, what he provided for you, and most importantly, who you are. Who you are is not what is the reflection staring back at you in the mirror in the morning. Right? That's just your temple, just your body.
Yeah.
You are that spirit man.
Come on.
And you're the person that God says that you are. And the Bible says you are a righteous man who may fall 7 times, but you will get back up.
Yes.
You will get back up.
Yeah.
Now, probably a quarter of the room has been through something and already got back up. And probably a quarter of you are in the middle of something and know that you're going to get back up, but you haven't quite got there yet. And some of you just got through something and you're still dusting the dirt off. And no matter which of those categories you fall into, the message is the same. You're a survivor, and you will get back up.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Now, when my brothers were little, well, I was little too, I guess, they had these toy things, and it was like a blow-up, I call it a creepy clown, but it's like a thing like this tall, and it was weighted on the bottom with sand. And if you're a Gen Xer, tiny bit older, like myself, you will remember these toys. They were like $5. And you punch them, and they go over, and they pop back up. My brothers broke them all the time. We went through them like candy. Boom, up, boom, up. Okay, that's what that thing does. So when I was thinking about this one day, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, you're the creepy clown toy. And I was like, can I be Barbie? And he's like, no, you're the creepy clown toy. What that means is you may get punched, you may get knocked down, you may go down, but you're going to immediately pop back up.
Yes.
Right? And when I thought about that, it was like I felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me, you know, we don't do any of this in our own power, right? I don't pop back up because I'm great. I don't pop back up because I have some magical ability or because I'm so spiritual. No, I pop back up because of the Holy Ghost in me. So I almost saw it like he was in me. I'm down and he's like, boop, back up, right? And when I get back up, I might be shaky for a little bit, but he's going to be there to stabilize me. And pretty soon, I'm back strong again. I might have got the wind knocked out of me, but you come back, right? Like, I'm going to admit something. I don't like horses because I'm afraid of them. And I'll admit it, it's fine. I don't like riding horses. They scare me. I got stepped on by a horse when I was little, and they freaked me out, okay? So one day, a friend invited my daughter and I to go horseback riding, and I didn't want her to miss out on it, so I was like, ugh, hate horses. Okay, I'll go. So the girl that had arranged this, she's like, you know, horses can smell fear. You need to take authority over that fear right now. I'm like, I know, I am, okay? I'm here, I'm getting on the dumb horse. And I'm like, you better put me on a nice horse. Yeah, you're fine, you're fine. So my daughter's on the other horse, she's maybe like 7. And you know, when you're a parent, you don't want your kids to know you're afraid because you don't want them to be afraid. So inside, it is everything I can do to sit on this dumb horse. I'm like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Okay, so we're in the yard, we're about to go down a trail, and there is a basketball in the middle of the yard. Yeah, you know where this is going. So the horse gets up to the basketball. He starts to trip. What does he do? Straight up in the air. What happens to me? I'm completely bucked off the back of the horse on the ground. And you know when you're like 35, you don't quite bounce back up like a 7-year-old. And so the wind is completely knocked out of me. I'm trying to get up, and my daughter, you know, is starting to freak. Mom, are you okay? Yep, I am great. Nope, I'm fine. Yep, I'm good. You go ahead. You go ahead. Have fun. I think I'm just going to wait right here, you know? I'm trying to cover up the fact that the wind just got completely knocked out of me, and I'm so scared of this horse. And so she went out on her way, and then I lied to her the rest of the day. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not afraid. I need to take a break because, you know, the horse kind of threw me off. But sometimes you get the wind knocked out of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? It happens to all of us. And the thing of it is Jesus told us it would.
Yeah. Right.
Right? So sometimes people will look at people going through storms or things that are happening. And it's really the enemy that will start to think, well, something, have you ever had something wrong in your life? And someone say, where did you open the door? Yeah. Did you sin? Is that why this is happening? No, this is happening because Jesus said you will have trials and tribulations.
Yes. Amen.
Right? Yes. Now, of course, we can do things to set ourselves up for problems. That's a no-brainer. But just because something happens in your life, it doesn't mean you did something wrong.
Come on.
It means that Jesus meant what he said, which he said it to us right here in John 16:33. I'm reading this again out of the Amplified because I'm a girl and I like lots of extra words. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering. Here comes the good word. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. Abiding isn't a once thing. Abiding isn't coming and going. Abiding is staying all the time. Right? So even when you're down, during the storm and you're in the phase where you just got knocked down, you're still overcoming. Yes. You still have already won the victory. Yes. And he is still there right with you, giving you a peace that the world does not have. Amen. That's what makes us different.
Yes.
When I go through a storm, yeah, I'm going to be upset. Yeah, I might cry. Yeah, I might, you know, I'm going through something. But at the end of the day, there's a peace.
Yes, there is.
That is right here that comes from him.
Yes.
And when you're in relationship with those that don't know the Lord and you don't react like everybody else, they take notice.
Yeah.
Why are you not freaking out? We all just got a pay cut. People are getting pink slips. Are you worried? You know what? Yeah. I'm not going to lie and say I'm not thinking about it, but guess what? God's bigger than a pink slip. If I get a pink slip, he's going to bring something else. He's going to bring something better. He will take care of me. Because my job is not my source.
Amen.
Right? No man is my source. God is my source, and he's going to take care of me. He said, you'll have tribulations, but do not fear. I have overcome. If he's overcome and he's in me, that means I overcome. No matter what. So as we're talking this morning, you may be thinking, okay, yeah, that's me. I'm in the storm right now. Right? Well, what helps us is to hear the good news of what God has done in other people's lives. It helps me because we know God's not a respecter of person. So that means if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. If he did it for you, he'll do it for her. Right? The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And sometimes I've tried to get this across to people because I've had people come, you know, we used to work with college age students, and sometimes they just felt like they needed to prove the Bible to people, right? And so they come back and like, I argued with so-and-so about speaking in tongues for an hour and they didn't even listen to me. Did you tell them that you used to be depressed and now you're not? Did you tell them you were sick and God healed you? Did you tell them that God brought restoration to your family? Because no one can argue with your personal testimony.
Amen.
What are they going to say? No. You weren't depressed. You're lying. No one's going to say that to you. What people want to know is that God cares about them. Yeah, you may know lots of doctrine. People don't care about that. They want to know, why do you have peace?
Yes.
Why are you not depressed? All this stuff is going crazy in the world. How are you happy? Why do you have joy every day when you come to work? We all hate it here. Right? People complain about their jobs nonstop. But when you don't, people take notice. Something just a little bit different about you. And the thing is, when you're in relationship with people, I like to say it like this, you earn the right to speak into someone's life. Right? You earn the right for them to care what you say. If they don't know you care about them, they're not going to come to you when they're going through something and ask you, what should I do? Or would you pray for me? I mean, people that don't know the Lord and they're going through something, if they know that you pray, they will find you. I've had people come up and even message me now that I've been on the show. Hey, I know you know the guy upstairs. That's what they usually say. Could you put in a good word for me?
Yeah.
I'll be like, you know, I certainly will. But just so you know, you don't need me to put in a good word for you. There's already a good word for you up there. Right? But when you're just living your life and people see you go through things and they see you get back up and they see that you're happy even in the middle of the storm, it says something to them about who God is in you.
Amen.
And you are a survivor.
Yeah.
Now listen to the actual definition of the word survivor, because I'm weird and I like to look these things up. The definition in the, what's definition? Oh, a dictionary. In a dictionary says, somebody who remains alive despite being exposed to life-threatening danger, somebody who shows a great will to live or a great determination to overcome difficulties, Somebody who has been psychologically damaged by trauma and seeks to overcome its effects. The last one I added myself. Survivor, number one rated reality TV show. That wasn't in the dictionary, I added it. But I think it's a good definition of the word survivor. So we're all survivors. You might be in the middle of it right now, but I'm telling you, God has already working. He knew there was a problem way before the storm came. He's much better than a meteorologist. In Minnesota, they're always wrong anyway. He knows the storm that's coming. And what we sometimes don't realize is he's already prepared you for it way before you ever got there.
Yeah.
We don't even realize what he's doing behind the scenes, what he's putting in us, what's being deposited in us. Maybe we're sitting in a church service and we're hearing the word, and in the natural we're thinking, well, this really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going through right now. But what you don't realize is it does in a year from now. And so he's depositing in you. Remember in the Bible it says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance? Yes. So every week when you're in church, you're depositing into a library. Right? In your spirit man. The Holy Spirit can't remind you of something you didn't know in the first place. Right? By nature of him reminding you, it means you already knew. You already knew. So then the more the word you put in you, when you face something or your friends face something or your family faces something, the Holy Spirit has more on the inside of you draw out and remind you of. Oh, yeah. That sermon Pastor Joe did like 6 months ago. It's right here. It's coming up. The Holy Spirit's reminding me. I know what I got to do. I got to pray this. I got to believe this. I know that he told that story about that woman who's been through this same thing. God's faithful. He'll do it for me too.
Yes.
What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. What he'll do for you, he'll do for your coworkers, your fellow students, whoever it is. So we're talking about falling down 7 times and getting back up. You know, you could fall more than 7 times. I've reached my 7-time limit. But the good thing about God is there isn't a limit. He doesn't say, okay, you fell 7, that's it now. Number 8, you get back up after 7. After 8, it's over. Right? No. We continue to get back up no matter how many times we fall, no matter what the fall looks like. That fall could take a different shape in everybody's life, but the principle is the same. Jesus overcame, you're a winner, you're a survivor. No matter what the circumstance looks like, right? Doesn't matter. Put yourself in to the message. This is what I'm going through. But the Bible says this about me. I'm a righteous person. And I will get back up. So I'm thinking about things in my life and all the things that I would say are falls in my life, things that have been difficult. When I was growing up, you know, until I was 11 years old, my dad was an alcoholic. And at 11 years old, I remember asking him one day, Dad, can you take us ice skating? Which he did all the time. And that particular day, his answer was, I don't know. Mom told me I have to move out. And even at 11, I knew what that meant. I knew he had a drinking problem. I could understand. That's what she's saying. But you know what? He chose us. He chose us. He quit drinking cold turkey.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he started going to church. And my mom said to him, I will go to whatever church you want if you'll just go to church with us. She goes, come visit this church with me. It's in a college. It's called Living Word. He said, oh, okay. And this lady was playing an accordion. Her name was Lynn Hammond. But then this man got up. And he was so full of the word and integrity and spoke it. And my dad got home that night and said, I will go to church if you go to that church. And that was Living Word. And we started going when I was in third grade. And my dad went from being an alcoholic to 2 years later starting the parking ministry at Living Word. He planned the first church picnic and the first men's bowling team and the first softball league. It changed the trajectory of our family.
That's awesome.
You know, but I ended up going to Rhema. I graduated. I came back and got a job at Living Word when I was 20 answering the phones. I was really good at it, too. And I had a lot of different jobs at Living Word over the years, answering phones, preschool director, wedding coordinator, and then at one point, Pastor asked Jeff, my husband and I, to become the youth pastors, which we did for about 12 years, and then became young adult pastors. And, you know, all through that time, we're having kids. Now, we have four children. They're ages 16, 18, 20, and 22. My oldest just got married. And life seemed, you know, to be trucking along. You know, my biggest problem at that time was changing too many diapers and trying to scrape fruit snacks out of the carpet, that kind of thing. But then, you know, life hits. And we had a series of events in our life that were difficult. In 2000, my dad passed away of cancer, and he didn't tell us. He had had cancer, and it had gone away, and it came back, and he didn't tell us. And I got a call that he was being taken to the hospital, and I got there, and I called his doctor, and I was like, what's going on? How much time does he have? And the doctor said to me, yesterday. And the good part that came out of that is we all had time with him before he went to heaven. That doesn't always happen. We all got to talk. There'd been some issues with my brothers that they all got, you know, to say everything. And I know he's waiting for us in heaven, but it was hard. And then just 2 years later, my father-in-law, Jeff's dad, got cancer. And he passed away. Now my kids don't have any grandpas. Grandpas are awesome. I was kind of ticked off about it. But we have awesome grandmas. And they'll get to see their grandpas again. And then my brother had a stillborn child that died actually on his due date. And that was difficult. And that was the time I was like, you know what, I think I'm kind of mad. I'm not going to believe you anymore, God. I was kind of ticked off about it. And I remember talking to Pastor Lynn. She's like, now Sunday, you still believe in God? I'm like, nope, I don't. I'm mad. She's like, no, you know. And of course, she was right. But that's how you kind of feel sometimes when you get hit with something. But then you see God's faithfulness come in. Right. And my brother had a little girl almost to the day a year later. And God completely restored their hearts. And Hunter, he's hanging out with my dad. His grandpa's right up there with him. We'll see him soon. But these are hard things to go through. And then in 2011, my husband started having a hard time breathing. And he didn't want to go to the doctor, but I finally got him to go. And through a series of events, all of a sudden we find out that he's got a clot in a hole in his heart, which he didn't even know there was a hole there. And this clot was sitting there, and the doctors all kept saying, we've never seen this before, we've never seen this before. But he could have sneezed or coughed at any time and had a massive stroke and died. It was a complete miracle. And the surgeon comes in and he says to me, well, if I don't operate, he could have a massive stroke and die, but if I do operate, he could die on the table. And just stared at me. I was like, are you asking me? He's like, well, I don't operate on people unless they ask me to. It's like, bedside manner was whatever. But he was a renowned doctor. Little Jewish man from New York with an accent. So, but within 20 minutes, they're wheeling him through the double doors, and he's handing me his wedding ring for emergency open heart surgery. And then 2 weeks later, he ended up back in the hospital because he was bleeding around the heart, 2.5 liters of blood. And the first thing his doctor said is, you should be dead again. You should have had a massive heart attack. You are really lucky. Excuse me. No, he's not lucky. That is God's mercy.
Amen.
And someone said to me, well, why would God let that happen to him? And I say, he's alive. God's mercy kept him alive. Sometimes it's just how you look at it, right?
Yeah.
He's alive.
Amen.
And that was in January of 2011. And then the very next year in April, I was itching a strap, itching right here. And I feel a little marble-sized lump. And I kept saying to myself, nah, that's not what you think it is. That's not really a marble there. You're only 40. Nobody you know has breast cancer. But I go to the doctor. I go to the specialist. That was a Friday. By Wednesday morning, I'm getting the call. Is this Sunday? Yep. Are you driving right now? It's never a good question. No, actually, I'm not. I'm sitting in my car waiting for your call. Well, your test results came back, and you have invasive ductal carcinoma. And I said, okay. No, do you understand what I'm saying, honey? Yep. No, I'm telling you, you have breast cancer. Uh-huh. Would you like to repeat it after me? Nope. She's like, this girl is crazy. She's in complete denial. She's like, how about if I spell it for you? Would you like to write it down? Nope, I'm good. Well, okay then. Sorry about that. I mean, she didn't know what to say because I was, then I hung up and then I freaked out, you know. But the first thing I did was yell at the devil. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I will fight. Jesus already paid the price for this. This is, you messed with the wrong chick. When a storm hits you, you need to look in the mirror and be like, you messed with the wrong person, devil. He messed with Jesus. He thought, crucify him. Go on the cross, he'll die. Look what happened because he did that. Right? It's not too smart. So, you gonna do this to me? I'm gonna tell everybody what God did. I'm gonna tell everybody how good God is. I got a story to tell now. Right? And so I go ahead and I had about seven or eight surgeries. I had 8 rounds of chemotherapy. I did this thing called a cold cap. And what they do is it's like a frozen dry ice cap that they put on your head. And it freezes your hair follicles so that you don't lose your hair. You lose like 25%. It was really painful. But I didn't lose all of my hair. So I go through this process, and I did radiation for 28 days, and it was hard. It was hard. No one's pretending it's not hard, but we know the answer in the end. And it was hard to tell my kids. I actually told Jeff, let's just not tell them. And my doctor's like, don't you think they're going to notice you're in the hospital? Yeah, but I could just say I'm on vacation. I didn't want to tell them. They had just been through this with their dad. But guess what? Here's the thing about my kids. You could never, ever talk them out of what God did in their family. You'll never convince my kids that God isn't real. You'll never convince them that God isn't good because they saw with their very own eyes what God did and saved their mom and saved their dad. They know, they know, they know, they know, they know, they know, they know. You can never talk them out of that. And when you see God move in your life, you know, you know, you know, you know, you know that he's big and he did it.
Very good.
No one's going to talk you out of that. And when you're excited about something, you tell everybody. I found this new store at Mall of America. It's called Altered. Have any of you seen this store? Have you seen it, Pastor Vicky? Okay. It's called Altered and it's spelled with like the word altar. And I go in and it has the cutest clothes. It's like Anthropology mixed with Free People, but there's scriptures everywhere. And I start noticing. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And then the bag says Altered, something about changing into something new. And this is a totally Christian store. You should go there. It's at the Mall of America. But it's Bible verses everywhere.
Awesome.
It's so cute. Okay, so when I like something, I tell everyone I know, have you been to this new store? When God does something big in your life, you can't help but say, did you hear what God did for me? Last time you saw me, I was going through chemo. Now look at me. Right? Not because of me, but because of what God did in me and through me and for me. So I got the piece of paper, right? I have the appointment with the doctor, and he's like, you're cancer-free. And I'm like, yes, but I don't feel cancer-free.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff that goes with something like that that I didn't realize until I walked through it. But a lot of emotional things. Some anxiety, some depression. There's medications you're on. They make you feel weird. And so I was kind of carrying those things with me. Yeah, I was cancer-free, but there was still stuff hanging on. And it took a few big moments in my life to get rid of those. And one of them was following my dream to get on Survivor. Now, I know some of you are thinking, why? You mean like you signed up to sleep in the dirt for 30 days? Yep, I did. And, you know, we've been watching as a family since the beginning. And probably 8 years ago, we were watching, and I said to the kids, I have three boys and a daughter, I'm going to be on that show one day. My boys laughed. Oh, yeah, right. You would make it one day, Mom. Totally laughing at me. I'm like, you just wait and see. So I get through cancer, and I'm like, okay, I survived cancer. Surely I can survive Survivor. And don't tell anybody, but I was about to turn 45. And I thought, you know, you're not getting any younger. You might as well just go for this if you're going to. So my son and I applied. I got a call. It never went anywhere. And then the next summer I applied again, and I got the call. Another call, but this is a good call. On my way to Minnesota Wild game, hang up the phone. I'm screaming with my sister, and I go out to L.A. for casting. And it's a series of interviews, and every day they send people home. So these interviews are a big deal. So I'm in my room praying in the Holy Ghost all morning because I know I'm going to have an interview with Jeff Probst, the host of the show, and some producers. And I'm about to go to my interview, and the producer lady I'm working with, she can tell I'm all like, you know, because if it doesn't go well, you're getting sent home. Like, you get a slip of paper under your door in your hotel room. How awful. And so I'm like praying in the Holy Ghost, and she doesn't know the Lord, but she says to me, listen, I can see light all over you. Go in there and be yourself. I was like, all right, I got this. I go in, I'm talking to Jeff Probst, and I say, Jeff, the Christians you have on the show are weird.
Amen.
And he goes, you're right. Why are they weird? And I go, I don't know, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to be weird. I could tell you had a little look of like, yeah, we'll wait and see. But I'm like, I knew I needed to go on there and just show an example of God's love.
Yeah.
I wasn't going there to, you know, preach the gospel, because that's not what I was supposed to do at that time. I was supposed to demonstrate who God was to the best of my ability. Did I do it perfect? No. But I tried. And people after that I told a few of them, I was like, I told Jeff I wasn't going to be a weird Christian. And a few of them came back to me later and was like, I want you to know you accomplished your goal. This is from people that are atheists, some of them, professing atheists. Tell me that. And all I did was try and be like Jesus. And, you know, once they found out I was a pastor, like, let me tell you, I never heard so many F words in my life. And so it's just nonstop. And so they find out I'm a pastor, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. And I'm telling them, listen, I'm not going to talk like you, but you don't have to change who you are because I'm here. I'm not going to say it, but you don't have to change who you are because of me. Then we get on these rewards. Like, God is so good, I got to go on every reward except for one. But they always have on the rewards beer and pop. And they start calling me Soda Pop Sunday because they couldn't get me to drink the beer. But the beer is brown bottles just like the pop. They look exactly the same, and they take all the labels off because of advertising. So this is me at a reward, trying to get, you know, I'm on camera all the time. I'm like, here's my pop, and it's really good, you know. And I'm like, can you guys hand me a pop, you know, because I'm trying to differentiate. I'm different, right? And they started calling me Soda Pop Sunday and made fun of me, but I didn't care. I'm like, listen, you guys, I'm not in high school. You can't peer pressure me into drinking a beer, you know. That was just important to me.
Amen.
That was important to me. And so all these little things God did, I got to go on these rewards and you know, have these conversations and be there for people and hold Hannah's hand. If you watch the show, there was times she was struggling, she had some anxiety, and I would just hold her hand and say, it's okay, Hannah. And just try to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's all he wants. Because again, I'm earning the right to speak into lives. I'm earning that by just showing I care. You know, if people don't know you care, they're not going to come to you. I guarantee you, at some point, these guys are going to start coming to me. This is happening. Will you pray for me? There was an episode where Paul, one of the guys in the Gen X tribe, had, like, collapsed, and they thought he had a mini heart attack. And the whole time, I have my hands on his back. I have my hand on his back, and I'm praying. And so when the episode aired, I messaged him, and I was like, hey, did you see that? Did you know I was praying for you? He's an atheist, mind you. He's like, no, I don't remember any of it. It's a big big blur. It's like, okay, well, let me point a couple things out to you. You go down, I have my hand on your back, and I'm praying the whole time. You didn't die. You didn't get pulled from the game. In fact, you participated in the immunity challenge the very next day. I just want you to know that. He's like, oh, okay. But he knows.
Yeah.
Right? And so God will use you in any situation, any place you are, any relationship you have, if you just let him come out of you and let your story speak for itself. Yeah. We had an unusually close cast. For those of you that ever watched Survivor, by the end of the game, most of the people hate each other. They hate each other. We all like each other. And there is something about that. We didn't have a villain in our season. That's very uncommon. We all talk to each other. And, you know, I've had people message me and even tweet me and say, how can you be a pastor and go on that show? Okay, let me breathe before I answer your question. No, most of them I don't answer. There's this thing on Twitter. It's called block. Block people. But anyway, I try to explain to people this. Survivor is a game, right? So if you're playing the game Sorry with someone and you knock their thing off, you don't feel bad about it. You don't apologize. It's how you play the game.
Right.
Okay? So I'm like, God, this is a dream, and I truly believe any dream you have was put in your heart by God for a purpose. There's a purpose for this. There's somewhere I'm going, somewhere he's taken me. There's a reason he did this. But my thing was, okay, I may have to lie in this game, because it's a game, but I don't have to do it by backbiting and stabbing someone in the back. I did a little different, right? Because we're different.
Yes.
And so there's things that you do in your life that are different, that speak to the people that are around you.
Right.
But it was so amazing to see how God would use me. God will use you.
Yeah.
So many times we think, God can't use me. Yeah, he will if you let him. Do you know we did not know the theme of this show until the game started? Until you saw it on air when Jeff Probst said, welcome to Survivor 33, Gen X versus Millennials. That's when we found out what the theme of the show was. So I'm all like, you got to be poker face, right? And I'm like, that's nice. Inside, I'm like, yes. Because we work with Millennials. That's what we do for a living. I didn't want them to know that. I didn't tell them. They asked me what I did. I said, pastor. I didn't have to tell them I was a young adult pastor. I didn't want him to know I could work well with the millennials. But God totally used it. And I know God used my breast cancer story to get me on that show. Because they like stories. Right? And so what the enemy did in my life, God is taking and using for so much good. And the things that the enemy does in your life, God will use them for so much good.
Yeah.
You don't even know. I don't even know yet. But I'm just going to walk it out. I'm just going to try and let him use me. I'm just going to try and walk in love with the people he puts me in relationship with. And try and give them a glimpse of who God really is. Okay, so like David, if you watch the show, David is like neurotic. There's a lot of anxiety. This is by his own definition. He's afraid of everything. And I literally spent the entire time I was with David trying to teach him how to talk positively about himself. Because he would put himself down all the time.
Right.
And so he put himself down, and I say, David, your words have power. Say something good about yourself. No. Like, yeah. So then people would say, like, David, good job on the fire. And he'd go, no, I mean, I should have did it over there, and it's not big enough. And he could hear me from across camp, David. He'd be like, sorry, Sunday. Yep, I did a good job. Right? But these are just little things.
Right.
Little things that come out of you second nature because of who you are and because of who's in you.
Yes.
So you may not get to go on a TV show, but wherever you are, that is your TV show. And God will use you. And the storm you're going through right now, God has something good that he will use because of it. He will turn it around. You already won. So now all it is a matter of kind of going, okay, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this? I can't wait to see what you do.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how you use me to encourage somebody else. I can't wait to see. I've told Jeff this before. I feel like my dad has like a present and it's a surprise. And I'm like, what is it? What is it? What is it? Right? So he's a surprise for you. Something amazing he's going to do after this storm that you've been in. Something he's already pre-arranging because you're a survivor. That was a good clue. You guys should have said survivor. I'll try it again. God has something amazing for you because you are a
survivor.
Oh, you guys are so smart. I love it. So how we want to kind of wrap this up is I want to be able to pray for those of you that are in the middle of that storm. That are in the middle of the storm. If I could get the praise and worship team to come up. There was an amazing song that we sang all together earlier. And it talked about we are triumphant.
Yeah.
Right? That is our, when we say we are triumphant, that's present tense.
Yes. Declaration.
So even if you're in the middle of the storm, you're not waiting to be triumphant. He already won it for you.
Yes.
And all you're going to do is walk it out.
Yes.
You're just walking it out. So if we could sing that, this is what I would like to do. If everyone could stand up. I'm a big believer. You're all big believers. I am a believer that you thank him before you actually see the answer.
Yeah.
Because what does praise do? Praise stills the enemy,
yeah.
Right? So you believe it, and you know if someone gave you a gift, you would say, thank you, right? Because you know that they're not going to give you an empty box, right? It's not going to be a trick. Like, here, I got you this beautiful box. Open it, and there's nothing in there, right? No. There's something good he has you. You may have not opened the box yet.
Yeah.
You may haven't opened it quite yet, but you're thanking him for it. And you're saying, I already know. So if you're going through a storm, if you're dealing with the residual of a storm, I would like you to come up here and sing this song with all your heart, thanking God for what he already did, what he's already doing. So come on up. If that's you. We all have them. There's no way. There's no one in here that isn't in the middle of a storm or dealing with it. But this is what the body is for. We are a body. We are a family. And this is, there's an anointing here to receive the answer. To receive it. So you guys go ahead and you guys can still keep coming up while we sing this song together and just be thanking him for the answer. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful name it is. could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bones of sin and grave. Heaven's on roar. Praise of your glory.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a clap. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stretch your hands out towards these at the altar this morning, and we're just going to come in agreement with you guys. I know Sunday took a second to pray over every one of you, and we just know that God's doing a work, and you know, you're not going to leave here empty, but you're going to leave here lifted. But you just keep standing in faith, believing. Father, we lift up every single one. We thank you, Lord, that they're not standing alone, but Lord, we're standing with them. And Lord, I thank you for the body of believers. And I thank you, Lord, that as they're going through a difficult season, a difficult trial, I thank you, Lord, they're not going through it by themselves, but they will survive. And Lord, they're going to come out thriving in the end. And I thank you, Lord, that we're the head and not the tail. We're above and we're not beneath. And I thank you, Father, that we got you. We got you reinforcing. It's not in our power, but Lord, it's in your strength. It's in your power. And Lord, we give you all the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a great, great testimony. Amen. Thank you, Sunday, for sharing that. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your journey. And you know, she has stepped down as the young adults pastor. Her husband's still on staff at Living Word, but she has stepped down because God's taking her on a little bit different journey. And I have a feeling we're probably one of the first churches on the journey that you're going to be, that are here. And so thank you for getting us in that. God bless you. Amen. Be seated for just a minute. Let's show Sunday how much we love and appreciate her as she's kicking off this new journey in her life. And I'm going to give you a chance to sow a seed into her and, you know, just reinforce and bless her and say thank you for your testimony. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for your transparency. And I want you to be a blessing today. And so be generous and give generously. If you're making out a check, make it out to DCC, Destiny Christian Church. If you're giving by your bank card, you can use